The following show is a replay of KTQA Daily Briefing. For more information, please call 253-330-8821 or visit us online at daily.ktqa.org. Good afternoon. It's Friday, April 17th. It's 3:16 p.m., and you're listening to the KTQA Daily Briefing. My name is Sam. Sorry we're a bit late, but there were a lot of updates today that we wanted to make sure we got right for you. And joining me is Becky. How are you?
I'm good. I am wearing a dress for the first time.
I noticed. Is there a reason for that?
We're getting low on laundry. All my sweatpants and gym shorts are...
So here I was expecting something about, some sort of spirit day thing, since you had writing implement socks on a couple days ago, and then sunglasses, and then crazy hair, but it just looked like your hair, because your hair's crazy. And,
No, it's just laundry day. That's today's spirit day.
Okay, today's spirit day is laundry day. That's pretty good.
That's my personal spirit day.
Okay, well, this is one week wrapping up. This is the first week since the schools were closed. Any new news or anything like that?
Not really on this front. It's the first week where everybody knows that schools will not be resuming this academic school year. So we're kind of getting into that groove. And it's a big change for everyone, I think.
All right. Well, there's a lot of news. So why don't we get to it?
There is a lot of news. But as always, state level updates and information on COVID-19 can be found in multiple languages online at coronavirus.wa.gov. Dialing 311 will get you to the City of Tacoma's non-emergency information line. Health department officials are staffing a coronavirus Q&A line 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. 7 days a week at 1-800-525-0127. And for interpreters in other languages, you can press pound when they answer and say your language. You can also now text the coronavirus hotline at 211-211 in any language. Dialing 211 will connect you to community resources statewide through the United Way, and you can also visit the United Way online at wa211.org.
Individuals, all right, this is national level news, I guess, which is something we usually don't cover. Individuals who qualify the federal tax rebate via direct deposit should have seen money added to their bank accounts this week. If the money isn't there, starting tomorrow, consumers can visit the Get My Payment section of the IRS website at irs.gov/coronavirus, where people can check the status of their rebate. Some individuals have reported getting verification that a stimulus check has been deposited to an account not owned or accessed by the individual. Calling the IRS will currently result in hearing a recorded message that states they are unable to provide live assistance due to staff levels. The IRS says that it's working through people's questions and working to post answers on its FAQ page.
Closer to home, Washington State Parks Foundation invites all Washingtonians experiencing some cabin fever to attend the Great Washington Camp-In at 6:30 p.m. today, this evening, at April 17th, streaming on YouTube live. Activities include talks from the Parks Commissioner and interpreters, celebrity chefs who will share favorite camping recipes, musicians hosting a campfire sing-along, cultural performances, and poetry readings. Campers can tune in online at waparks.org or call 360-701-7923 in advance to request accessibility accommodations.
Moving on to the Washington State Governor's Office, the state is expanding unemployment benefits to previously ineligible individuals. Private contractors will qualify as those who worked fewer than 680 hours in the previous year, and the weekly benefit will increase by $600. The Employment Security Department website esd.wa.gov will be unavailable on Saturday while updates are being made, but should be up and running by Sunday, and individuals may call 1-833-572-8400. The governor has extended a statewide eviction moratorium through June 4th and expanded certain provisions. There is a ban on the collection of late fees from February 29th until June 4th. Already paid late fees must be returned. Landlords are now prohibited from increasing rents or deposits for residential tenants. Additionally, the ban extends to commercial tenants who have been impacted by COVID-19 or the stay-at-home order. Protections from residential evictions have been expanded to individuals residing on leased lots or parcels, transitional housing, and public campgrounds. Landlords may not charge for housing where tenants' access was prevented due to COVID-19, such as college housing, delayed move-ins, or those displaced due to COVID-19 isolation or quarantine. Rent payments delayed through June 4th will still be owed, but a landlord must offer tenants a reasonable repayment plan to enforce any collection of that debt. The updated proclamation, which is extensive, can be found by going to governor.wa.gov and clicking on the news and media section.
There's a few other programs in Washington state. Some Washington residents can apply now for the Disaster Cash Assistance Program, or DCAP, for emergency funds to help meet their immediate needs. The assistance is available to Washington residents who are not eligible for other cash assistance programs and who meet income limits, regardless of citizenship status. People can apply for DCAP by calling 1-877-501-2233 to complete the application and required interview. People are encouraged to call before 11 a.m. and to keep in mind that the busiest call times are 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. WIC, the Supplemental Nutrition Program for Women, Infants, and Children, has been identified as an essential service during the stay-at-home order. People seeking WIC services do not need to visit a WIC clinic. WIC services are available by phone or video chat, even when physical buildings are closed. Customers can call 1-800-322-2588. They can also text WIC to 96859 or visit parenthelp123.org online.
Moving on to the city of Tacoma, just before airtime, the Tacoma City Council was holding a special virtual meeting discussing the city's small business stabilization loan program. The meeting is available to watch and listen to on the City of Tacoma's Facebook page.
Regionally, King County Metro is reducing weekend bus service beginning tomorrow, April 18th, and will further reduce weekday bus service starting Monday, April 20th. Details can be found by following links at kingcounty.gov or by calling 206-553-3000.
That's a lot of updates. That is many, many updates.
If it went real fast for folks, listeners can also go to our website where all of those will be in print as well by the end of the evening, I guess, correct?
Well, probably by about 4 o'clock. It takes me about that long to produce these episodes. Yeah, I just take the notes that we read off of and post them on the post for that day's briefing. If you go to the website, what there will be is a title describing who we interviewed and then a blurb about that interview. But if you click on that title, it'll take you to the individual page, which will have all the notes displayed for what the briefing was today.
And that's at daily.ktqa.org, right?
Indeed, daily.ktqa.org. And so that was a lot to go through. And so if you miss something or you want some details about what we said, It's all right there.
Also for previous days as
also,
well.
Yeah, for any day, every episode we've done of this KTQA Daily Briefing is available there for, I guess, posterity? I don't know. Well, this is Friday, so we have an interview today, but then Saturday and Sunday for the next 2 days, as is our usual choice, we only do the briefings and we sort of relax on the interviews so that we can focus on a couple things during the weekend and maybe relax a little, so... that's what we're up to. So dialing 311 will connect you to the City of Tacoma's non-emergency information line. Dialing 211 will connect you to statewide community resources. Our email address is daily@ktqa.org. And you can call or text us at 253-330-8821. Now onto the interview.
With me today is Brent Mason. He's the Executive Director for Foss Waterway Seaport in Tacoma. How are you, Brent?
I'm doing well, Becky. Thank you. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Now, are you working from home? Are you at the seaport? What's going on with what you're doing right now?
Well, it's as tempting as it was for me to actually do this spot inside the museum, I thought that probably wouldn't give your listeners a very good perspective. They might think that we're open and we're not. So I am working remotely. We've been remote for the better part of the last 3 weeks. We do have some deemed as essential staff that go in and feed our baby salmon as well as our touch take critters. So we are down there from time to time. But yes, today you've got me remote.
I love it. The salmon hatchlings, the salmonids that are just there. You know, I'm a public school teacher, and our schools are the hatchling schools as well that have the big salmon tank. And that was a big concern of ours when we said, oh, we're closing schools for several weeks. And now, of course, through the end of the academic year, I'm glad to hear that folks are still taking care of those. And hopefully we'll be able to release them into streams at some point, I imagine.
Yeah. Yes, we're actually, I was just talking with my director of education earlier this morning, and the plan right now is to do a virtual release sometime towards the middle to the end of May. So I would advise your listeners that if they're interested in being able to take that in virtually, that they pay attention to our website. There'll be more information about that forthcoming. But yes, I'm sure as you can relate, we invested a lot of time and a lot of energy and a lot of interest in being able to watch those guys hatch, and they're up to about an inch or so long, and seem to be thriving. So we as you can attest as well, that they become part of your family after a while. So we felt an obligation to take care of them, even though the world above water seemed to be crumbling around them.
Well, I'm definitely appreciative of that. Can you take us a little bit through the experience of what visitors might see or hear when they come through the Foss Waterway Seaport for an afternoon?
Oh, yeah, that's a great question, and it's one that I'm still even grappling with. I've been at the Seaport now since mid-December, and what I have found it to be is a lot of different things, and what I've tried to impress to people is that you don't have to be a boater to appreciate and to get something out of the Seaport. There is historical information there. There's cultural information. There is people, commerce. There's the touch tanks. There's the critters. If you're a rower, we've got three different wooden pocock racing shells, which were made famous with the Boys in the Boat book and the movie To Be. There's just a lot of different things for a lot of different interests at the Seaport, and what I like to be able to stress to people is, again, you don't have to be a boater to get something out of it. If you're at all interested in history of the PNW, the Puget Sound area, Tacoma, there's tons and tons and tons of historical information down at the Seaport, and I would recommend, it's a fabulous building. It's 120 years old. And anybody that knows the history of the Seaport or of the waterway knows that that entire 9-mile stretch of waterway used to be filled with warehouses, just like the Balfour Building, which is where we're located. And that is the only warehouse that managed to survive fire, decay, rodents, and anything else that Mother Nature wanted to throw at it to still be standing. It's thriving, and I think people should come down and see it.
I think that it's definitely cool. I think the first time I stepped in there was maybe close to a decade ago when there was a beer festival going on. So it looks like there's events that can also be happening. And I was really thrilled by it. It was really fun. I didn't know that the crew boats were there from the UW yeah. crew team, the Boys on the Boat you mentioned.
Yes, we've got two that are up in the rafters, and we just got another one donated. Gosh, when was it? It was right about the time that everything with the virus started to break, but we were still there. So we've got three of them. There's the one that we took is a 39-foot. We've got a 27-foot and a 60-foot, and so there's three different sizes, kind of a. There's no one shape that fits all. It's sort of like whatever suits you best. And the one that we just received is actually on the floor now. And while we're not in a position to, obviously we're not open, but once we do, we hope to be able to provide opportunities for our visitors to actually come, be able to touch it, feel it, smell it, sit inside of it, and kind of get a sense as to what it might feel like to be out on the water as a rower. And maybe even have a little bit of a flashback back to the 40s, early 50s, when the pocock wooden shells were kind of coming on the scene.
That is definitely so cool. You said that you've only really been in here since December. What drew you to maritime history or the museum or boating? Is it environment? Is it the history? Is it the actually being a mariner?
It would probably be everything except for the last thing that you said. I grew up on the beach and have always appreciated the water and have loved the water. And while I've certainly been in my share of boats, I don't own one. I don't necessarily clamor to get into one, though if somebody offered me the opportunity, I would gladly take up the invitation. But I think it's probably just being someone who appreciates the history of the Puget Sound area. And when I was researching for the job, I kind of dove into the history books and kind of read up a little bit more about the seaport and the waterway and Tacoma in general, and just the role that this area played in not only Pacific Northwest history, but regional history as well as U.S. history. It really makes you appreciate the community even that much more, and certainly the seaport. And like I said before, without beating the horse here, that building is a survivor. Again, it's an entirely wooden structure that beat all of the odds. Like I said, whether it was fire, decay, pests, falling into the water, whatever it might be. And there's a lot of people in this area, too many for me to name in this bit, who are responsible for that building being the way that it is. But the Tacoma community should be very, 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 very proud of the seaport, regardless of whether they have an interest in history or not. It's a beautiful building. You were down there for an event. We have a lot of community as well as seaport events that are held there. So hopefully everyone has a chance to come down and experience it at some point.
You mentioned that you feel like the folks of Tacoma should really have pride in the seaport, either the museum or Commencement Bay and whatnot. There definitely was a time when we wouldn't have been so proud of Commencement Bay. I mean, it was very, very highly polluted for a long time before the restoration and remediation of the Foss Waterway and Commencement Bay. What's the sort of interface between that commerce and history and then the environmental restoration that's really gone on in the Foss Waterway?
Well, and I guess it's one of those things where, you can never go back and undo what's already been done, right? But it is important to recognize where we've been and kind of where we've come from, and hopefully we learn from some of those lessons. So I think the fact that we've given a nod towards the fact that maybe we didn't treat the waterway the way that it should and so forth. And the fact that we've managed to create a waterway that really people should be proud of. I mean, it thrives in terms of the amount of commerce, the amount of recreation that takes place on it. And I think that says a lot about the people who whenever it was, who felt it was important enough to save it and to kind of do a do-over. And I'm sure the Port of Tacoma, the Puyallup Tribe, I'm sure a lot of community leaders have all been involved with that. But I think it's, like I said, I think it's important to remember where we came from and the lessons that can be learned so that we don't repeat them down the road. And again, I think that can be a source of pride as well as lesson learned.
Now, I'm not a Tacoma native. When I first moved here, I was just kind of stumped. I kept seeing Foss everywhere. Can you bring us through a little bit of who Thea Foss was?
Gosh, when you think back in terms of women of the era, women way back, I think Thea Foss probably is one of those sleepers in the sense that I don't think a lot of people really truly recognize and appreciate what she did for this area. And, they're well known for having been boat makers, canoe makers, and the like. And Thea was a woman before her time. She was a business person, and quite frankly, she kicked butt. I think she's as much known for her efforts and her impact on the area as the rest of the family. And that's kind of the nod that we give at the museum is mostly to her work. But as you said, Foss can be found everywhere from schools to the waterway. So you have to do a little bit of look back in history. She was a leader, like I said, well before her time.
I think folks that are loyal listeners of KTQA and enjoy old-time radio programming might also be familiar with old-time films a little bit. I heard that the Foss was the inspiration for Tugboat Annie, that film from the 30s.
Yes, yes. And in fact, the display that we have for Thea, trying to remember if we have a clip from the movie that's also part of it or not, but yes, she was the inspiration.
I think it was for one of the festivals, the giant ducky that came down into the waterway. Yeah. Usually we're used to seeing, you know, it's beautiful seeing boats with strewn with twinkle lights and Christmas lights. And then one day, this giant inflated rubber ducky appeared in our town.
I want to say, I remember hearing stories about this. I want to say that that was from Maritime Fest. Don't quote me on that or don't hold me to it, but I think it was from Maritime Fest. You know, I think that even in the last, you know, month to 6 weeks, as life has changed for all of us, we've had to learn to adjust, whether that be with our, you know, our sports or whether it's our arts and theater. And the same will be true for a lot of our special events. We have an annual fundraiser that normally takes place in, actually it would be taking place next weekend, that we've moved to September. And so I think, if there's anything that comes out of this situation, it will be that places like the Seaport, as well as the other arts and nonprofits in the Puget Sound area, are learning to be creative and to think outside the box. And while I think we would all gladly go back to what was, maybe some of these things are going to, you know, when we look back on it, we're going to say, huh, maybe we can continue to do that or do our business in a different way. So that's kind of the way that I think we're approaching these events, is that if we can do something virtually, we'll do it. If we can't, then we won't. But we're trying to make sure, I know at least in talking with my colleagues around the community, we're all wanting to be there now as well as post-pandemic for the community, because we feel like people are going to really need it. Not only do they need it now, but they're really going to need it, and they're going to need us when things start to move towards that norm.
So how can folks learn more about the museum and stay abreast of developments at the Seaport?
Well, they can follow us. They can certainly follow us on Facebook. Just all I have to do is do the search for Foss Waterway Seaport. Probably the easiest way, and or going to fosswaterwayseaport.org. If there are parents out there that are looking for some online content for their kids, our education staff has been doing a phenomenal job getting a lot of really fun and different content up on our website. They're really easy webinar type things or video conferences that, while they're fun, they'll make you chuckle a little bit, but there's also some educational value there as well. So I welcome folks to visit the website and follow us on Facebook.
Definitely a cool resource there. What's your favorite thing about Tacoma?
Oh boy. You know, This is going to sound a little bit like a cop out, but I think I love the passion for the community. One of the reasons why I chose to move down to Tacoma a couple of years ago was to experience a downtown, to experience people that truly care about their neighborhood and the neighborhoods in general. And you can't ask for much more. And that's one of the reasons why I took this job, is because, gosh, if it had been in Seattle, I wouldn't have taken it. Tacoma is just so much about community, and it's so much about passion for that community. That's what I love about it. It's the little engine that could. I don't think that people give it the credit that it deserves, but maybe that's just going to be our little secret.
Maybe the little tugboat that could as well. I think there's a lot of Tacoma tugging along and helping some of those bigger things that get the bigger glory, right?
That's right. I like the play on words, but yes, very appropriate in this instance. And absolutely, I'm on board with you on that one.
Well, Brent Mason, it's so lovely to have you in conversation today.
Thank you, Becky.
Brent Mason's the executive director for Foss Waterway Seaport in Tacoma.
Dialing 311 will connect you to city resources. Dialing 211 will connect you to statewide community resources. Our email address is daily@ktqa.org. Or you can call or text us at 253-330-8821. See you tomorrow.
KTQA LP 95.3 Tacoma.